Hello and welcome to the Sydney Institute podcast. The Institute is Australia's premier current affairs forum. Every week, contemporary political, social, cultural, and economic issues are explored at the Institute through dialogue and discussion. This podcast was recorded recently at a members' forum in the city of Sydney. Thanks for listening, and for more information about the Sydney Institute, please visit www.thesydneyinstitute.com.au. We hope you enjoy this event.
Anne Henderson's book, Enid Lyons, Leading Lady to a Nation, was launched in Tasmania on Thursday, 3rd July, by the Governor of Tasmania, His Excellency Peter Underwood, AO. The function was held at Home Hill in Devonport, a National Trust property, and the family home of Joe and Enid Lyons and their children. Dame Enid's sons Barry Lyons and Peter Lyons were present at the book launch. Mr. Chris Tassel, Managing Director of National Trust Tasmania, commenced proceedings by welcoming all present and called on Barry Lyons to introduce the Governor. The podcast commences with Barry Lyons recalling an occasion when Dame Enid and her children were guests of the Governor-General, Lord Gowrie and Lady Gowrie, at Government House.
I remember this being the second time I've been privileged to do that. So I worked around in my mind as to what to tell you about it. And the first thing that came to mind was that the last time was with the Governor-General in Canberra. And that was a somewhat momentous occasion because Mum and Dad had just left Canberra to go to the coronation or before the Jubilee. And so we were sort of alone in the lodge. And Lord Gowrie decided that we needed a bit of cheering up and invited us for afternoon tea, which we had in the main dining room, which is pretty elaborate. And towards the end, when he stood up to go out, and as you will know if you've been to Government House, when the Governor stands and moves out, you stand and move out. There's no maybes, haven't finished the tea. But Lady Gowrie said, "No, wait a minute, Barry hasn't finished his chocolate." So the whole mob had to go and sit down again, which was very impressive.
Nothing's changed.
Nothing's changed, no. The other thing, I was asking a question or two as to what I could say that was nice about the Governor when he came up here. And
something good, I hope.
And now I don't know. I knew that was going to happen. The other occasion that marks this is that it's a book launch. I've never been to a book launch before, but I'm delighted to be here. And it reminds me of the Chorus Girls. A third one, they're all about 18, was going to have a birthday, so they were discussing what they should buy her for a birthday. And one of them said, "Why don't we get her a book?" She said, "No, she's got a book." Anyway, His Excellency the Governor of Tasmania.
Thank you very much. Can you hear me out there? Yes, whether I shout or not.
You need that a little bit higher.
I'm tempted to tell you the story of me opening a fair not so long ago, and the PA system didn't work too well, and I could see people in trouble, so I shouted and I said, "Can you all hear me?" And the bloke in the front said, "Yes, I can, but I'll swap places gladly." I thought I should say, to start with, at this book launch, that as a Supreme Court judge for more than 20 years, I'm acutely conscious that the recollection of witnesses of events that occurred years ago frequently differ, and that when recounting family events, these differences often lead to disputation. But right at the start, I have to say this biography of Enid Lyons, Leading Lady to a Nation, is a simply riveting read. Most biographies start with a recital of the birth of the subject, but this one starts with the death of the subject's husband. And the book begins, at 11 a.m. on the 7th of April 1939, Good Friday, the leader of the Country Party and Deputy Prime Minister, Sir Earl Page, made a radio broadcast to all states of the Commonwealth of Australia. His statement stopped a nation. Prime Minister Joe Lyons had died at 10:40 a.m. after fighting hard to beat a series of heart attacks over almost 2 days. Now, I know that this first chapter is being reprinted in the National Weekend newspaper. Actually, the book's been referred to so often in this newspaper, I thought the author might have shares in it.
Wish I had.
But it's worthy of repeated reference, because reading that first chapter is like catching a breathtaking express lift to the top of a building. Whoosh! And when you get to the end of the ride, or the end of chapter one, you're absolutely hooked on this wonderful story and cannot wait to read more. I've only just met the author, Anne Henderson, who, as you all know, is the Deputy Director of the Sydney Institute, and I haven't so far read any of her other books, but as a result of reading this one, I'm now one of her devoted fans. For me, Miss Henderson has such an exciting style of writing. At strategically placed intervals, she uses the conditional future tense to boot the story along and continually raise the level of interest with the tantalising promise of more fascinating details of the lives of Joe and Enid Lyons to come. Consider this typical example. In almost exactly the middle of the book, there's a description of two idyllic family years spent in this house before Joe Lyons moved into federal politics and he was then a state backbencher. In case the reader is feeling as complacent as was Enid Lyons about this peaceful time, these peaceful times, Miss Henderson writes, "But their all too brief couple of years of domestic tranquillity were over. They weren't to know it then, but these 2 years at Home Hill would be their last as an ordinary family. The rest of their married life would revolve around the vagaries of political highs and lows." Another example. Chapter 9 closes with Miss Henderson writing about Enid Lyons' periodic depression and what she described as her downward spiral caused by the stress of public life and the demands of bringing up a large family. The chapter closes. Ironically, just as Enid sensed her downward spiral, events would overtake the Lyons government itself, and that decline would take just a year, and yet it would usher in an even bigger chapter in the Lyons saga. You just can't wait to press on and find out what happened. Sprinkled throughout to lift the level of interest to even greater heights, there are snippets of hitherto little or unknown information about the lives of the two principal characters. One of these snippets is referred to on the back cover as new and intriguing information about a family secret. It's detailed in the chapter entitled The Family Closet, and it is indeed truly intriguing, but of course you have to read it yourself. My lips are sealed about that. But it's in this manner that Miss Henderson continually drives the reader at top speed to the end of the last chapter, which closes as the book began, with a death. But this time, of a truly remarkable woman, not her husband. It's very clear to me that Enid Lyons' mother, Eliza Burnell, was an early feminist in the true sense of that word, and very largely responsible not only for her daughter's education that enabled her in her adult life to mix with all strata of society, but also for her confidence that for her anything was possible. The influence of Enid Lyons' mother surfaces from time to time throughout the whole book. It was her mother who gave her the fearlessness to stand on the public platform and speak with a voice that was, quote, unpretentious yet deftly modulated with the dramatic quality of the stage. Clear, well-educated, and very much the product of a mother's enforced elocution lessons. This was an extraordinary gift that Dame Enid's mother gave her daughter in a time when women were very much second-class citizens and certainly not regarded as fit to lead a public life. It's also clear that in later life, Dame Enid's mother backed up her daughter's education in a practical way by frequently looking after the growing brood of children, even the difficult ones, while her daughter took to the public circuit with her political husband. All of this is so well described in the book and put in temporal context with the information that the train journey from Devonport to Hobart took an incredible 11 hours. Mind you, at the moment you'd be hard-pressed to get anything to the And by descriptions of travel from the family home here in Devonport to Canberra, first by overnight ship to Melbourne and then by long train journey to Canberra. All of this made more difficult by the fact that in the early days of the Lyons' married political life, there was no telephone link between Tasmania and the rest of Australia. One would think that to be the first woman to enter the House of Representatives and to be the first woman to be a member of a Commonwealth Cabinet would be the crowning pinnacle of this extraordinary woman's life. But after reading the book, I was left with the impression that her greatest achievements belonged to the years that she was with the love of her life, Joe Lyons, and the two of them were bringing up a very large family. They were clearly a political duo. And while it obviously could be said that she supported him, her ability to win over the public put them in a relationship of equal political partners, even though he was the Prime Minister of Australia and she was the mother of 12 children. In this respect, she truly did stand, as Miss Henderson writes, tall and unique among prime ministerial spouses since Federation. There can be no doubt that her ability to be such a mother and at the same time such an effective political partner for her husband intrigued and attracted both men and women of the time, a time when the prevailing community view was that a woman's place was in the home. It was a stunning performance, but one that clearly took a repeated toll on Enid Lyons' health. However, admiration for Enid Lyons' political role must not overlook the fact that she was very dependent upon others, her mother and other family members, friends, who moved in to look after her vast family while she so willingly took to the hustings. In this respect, Miss Henderson writes that Enid was happiest with a new baby in the house, but at the same time she refers to her following the advice of the then current baby care and upbringing guru, Dr. Truby King, writing that Enid's, quote, acceptance of Truby King's way may explain her ease at handing her babies over to others whenever public life called. This account of the life of Dame Enid Lyons makes it perfectly clear that in spite of the demands of her large family and in spite of Dame Enid's repeated claims that she longed for a quiet life with Joe and the children in this house, she relished to the full her engagement with the public life and the living of a life of an outspoken wife of the Prime Minister of this country. Well, I could go on and on about this book, because I really did enjoy every word of it, but you'll be relieved to know I'm not going to do that. I'd just like to finish by drawing attention to the last chapter entitled The Lyons Legacy, in which Miss Henderson describes Dame Enid as an outstanding role model for women when she wrote, "So often young women today are told they cannot have it all, that parenting and a public life are too difficult to manage at the one time. And yet Enid did this with a large number of children, and after 1939, the year Joe Lyons died, of course, while a single parent. Clearly, it took an exceptional person to manage it all, but the most successful leaders in the public sphere are exceptional. What Enid Lyons demonstrated was that women could do it too. Now, as I said, this book is a riveting read, and it's a real privilege for me to be asked to launch it in Tasmania at Home Hill, initially by Dame Enid's grandson, Peter, whom I like to count as a good friend of mine, and I now see bears incredible resemblance to his father, and later by the publishers, Pluto Press, to whom congratulations go for making a major contribution to the written political history of this country. And last, and of course by no means least, the warmest congratulations go to the talented author, Anne Henderson, whose book, Leading Lady to a Nation, I have great pleasure in launching. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Excellent. I'd now like to introduce Anne Henderson, the author of the book. Thank you, Anne.
Thanks, Chris. Oh dear, how do I follow an act like that and that? No jokes.
Write another book.
Well, I believe. Your Excellency, thank you. That was very good. Too good, actually. And thank you to the Honourable Sue Smith for being here, Mr. Chris Hassel for helping to organise it, Peter Barry, other Lyons family members, extended and otherwise, even people who helped me with the book that have come along. And I'm really delighted to be here. Because part of me is always a bit of Tasmania, since I lived here a couple of times with Gerard, and to have come to be privileged enough to have a launch in this house, the subject of the book and all the rest of it, and to have brought the governor here for the first time, I feel very privileged. And I would thinking like Damien, I'd say, Governor, you must come again. We lived here in Launceston when our daughters were very young, and I brought along one of the daughters tonight to give the house a little feel of what it must have known, the laughter and the probably boredom of small children at an adult gathering. But anyway, that's Naomi and Hannah down there. The reason Tasmania, I think, pulls me is because it pulls a lot of people. It's unique in the Australian Federation. And Enid always knew that, and that's why Enid always came back here. And Enid never forgot her roots, and I think that's why she was an exemplary public figure. I got interested in Enid very late because I probably thought she was a bit old-fashioned when I was a young 20-something mother, but that was the zippy 70s when we thought families weren't important, even though we were all busily bringing them up. It was only after I did a piece for Michelle Grattan's book on Joe Lyons in 2000 for the book Australian Prime Ministers that I suddenly realised what an amazing woman she was, as well as her husband, what an amazing politician he was. And it's my belief that both Liberal and Labor Party should put that man back in their traditions where he belongs. But of course it's very difficult with tribal politics, I suppose, but I'm still working on it. Well, of course, Joe was the man who saved Australia in the Depression, we know that. And that was the time when I was growing up, financial responsibility wasn't regarded as such a big deal. We're always thinking foreign policy. But we now realise financial management is the key to a successful nation. Now, Joe was, in my estimation, in my husband's estimation, other people's estimation, a terrifically important Prime Minister. But many didn't, because he left the Labor Party, had a lot of enemies. The Liberals had Menzies, and they didn't think beyond Menzies. But the other day, we had a phone call in our office to Gerard from Malcolm McCarris, who's the sophologist, who's always got this pendulum swinging about who's in and who's out. And Gerard and he got talking, and Gerard put some of the theories forward about why Joe was important and had been forgotten, etc. Well, guess what? He's got in touch with Gerard, and his pendulum has swung, and he's popped Joe Lyons ahead of Chifley. So Joe's getting closer and closer to the top. So there you go. Your dad's making it back, coming back. And it's nice to think we're part of that. Now, you know Enid learnt most of her skills from Joe. She was a great thespian, not that she would have been given an Academy Award, but all that early life of learning your elocution, loving amateur dramatics, Jo realised that that was important and it made her great on the podium. And all his life he would push her up there. And this is how she ended up being the person she became. She did all his political paperwork for a long time. She got up when he couldn't make it to a podium. And when he died, everyone thought that was the end of Dame Enid because she was such a part of Joe. Well, as these two here know, Dame Enid wasn't going to be kept down for long. And so she became the first woman in 1943 to enter the House of Representatives. Amazingly, she stood not just against three people from the Labour Party and one communist, she stood against two men from her own party, and she beat them all. Now, that was an election which was a landslide for Labour and John Chifley's government. John Curtin's, government, but Chifley on the brain tonight. And against the tide, Enid was the only bright light on Menzies' calendar year. I mean, she was the winner when everything was falling apart. She served successfully another three terms. Each time she won more votes. And when Robert Menzies swept into power and became Prime Minister in 1949, it wasn't his first choice. There's a considerable amount of this in Enid's writings. But eventually, the support that she had among those that were in the coalition were enough to convince Menzies that he couldn't leave her out. And so she became the first woman to occupy a seat at that gentleman's club table at the top of the land, the cabinet. And there she was. Thanks for coming to this night to celebrate the life of an extraordinary person, extraordinary woman, extraordinary Tasmanian, extraordinary Australian. You can't read the story of Enid and not think, how did she do it? It was amazing. But I also want to thank those that have put this on tonight. Thanks to Mary Bix and all those wonderful ladies who've done the catering. Thanks to the Devonport Council. Thanks to Chris Tassel and the National Trust. Pam Bartlett with the house and all those people that are volunteers around Home Hill. Thanks to the girls for being good children. Thanks especially to this man over here who's weathered all kinds of requests from me, Peter Lyons, as I went through. Peter, can you check this? Peter, can you do this? Peter's been an absolute marvel, and Barry along behind him with their cooperation and help. I had a lot of help from all the Lyons, Living Lyons children, and I'm very grateful for that. But in it all, I really want to thank Enid for being the person she was. And I think if you strain your ears tonight, you just might hear a tinkle from a piano out there in the drawing room somewhere. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Anne. And to conclude tonight's formalities, I'd like to introduce the Honourable Sue Smith, President of the Legislative Council, and I could think of no one more appropriate tonight. And like Dame Enid, she too has played her role in breaking the glass ceilings for women in politics. So, thank you.
Thank you, Chris, and thank you to the organisers for asking me this evening to propose a vote of thanks to the Governor. I was particularly honoured because I am originally a Devonport girl. And my memory of Dame Enid, of course, is in my time at Our Lady of Lourdes Convent School when Dame Enid was retired, but on many occasions came to the school, and I always admired the great skill she had at oratory in actually delivering inspiration to all of us as we walked our way through our education. And I was only reflecting earlier this evening with another old scholar from Our Lady of Lourdes how we sat on the monument with great respect and ate our lunch as the remains of Jo at that time were there in the school, and how lucky we were to actually be a part of the history of a great family. So it does give me great pleasure this evening to thank the Governor for making the trip to Devonport. It is appropriate that on an evening as important as this, the most important person within our state has chosen to come to Devonport to launch this book. I think it reflects the esteem with which we all hold the Lyons family in this town, in this community, in this state and in this nation. So, Your Excellency, on behalf of the community here, we thank you for taking the time this evening to come along. We thank you for your thoughts on the book. You have now inspired us all to make sure that before we leave this evening, we walk further back and ensure we take a copy home with us. So may I ask everybody in the usual manner to thank His Excellency.
Concludes the formal part of this evening's proceedings, so please enjoy the refreshments and do as Sue said, buy a book.
You have been listening to the Sydney Institute podcast. This podcast is proudly brought to you through the support of Microsoft Australia. We hope you enjoyed listening and can join us again soon.